Welcome to the Responsible Management Podcast from the University of Bradford School of Management. This is a podcast for our Knowledge Transfer Network community. My name is David Spicer. I'm the school's Director of Business and Community Engagement and delighted to host the podcast. Today's podcast is about Local Access Bradford District, a great initiative going on here in the city. And to join me to talk about that are Cameron Rashid and Dr. Amazon Omar. Cameron is the CEO and co-founder of the Impact Hub in Bradford and a passionate and committed advocate and worker for social enterprise in the city and beyond. Cameron is also the founder of the Socially Conscious Company, a private training and consultancy company specialising in youth culture, diversity and inclusion and specialist engagement, and a non-executive director of the Leeds Local Enterprise Partnership and of Bradford City of Culture 2025 Trust. Dr. Amazon Omar is Associate Professor in Strategic Management and Director of Accreditation here in the Faculty of Management, Law and Social Sciences at Bradford. Her research is interdisciplinary, focusing on institutionalisation of digital technologies in organisations, particularly the role of digital technology and their interplay between institutional actors and structures in the context of public sector transformation. So welcome, Cameron. Welcome, Amazon. Delighted to have you here today. If perhaps start with the question we ask everybody really at the start, obviously our focus is on responsible management. So what does responsible management mean for you, Cameron?
Responsible management for me means just doing things in a way that thinks about people, planet and profit. I think we've typically and historically seen business in the bottom line, which is all about profit. But I think the movement of like ESG, which is about thinking about environmental, social and governance, and what we call in the social enterprise space, the triple bottom line, which is about people and planet as well as profit. So for me, responsible management is thinking about how we do business, how we run our organizations, our businesses, our communities in a way that is responsible, not only for making profit and benefiting the shareholder, but also being responsible towards the people we support and work with, and how we make sure that we leave the planet in a better place than we found it.
Well, I would like to add to that. So basically, I think I've agreed with all what Cameron said is about the triple bottom line. But there is also an important element in the responsible management aspects, which is the ethical side of things. So we can't leave the ethical side of things from the responsible management, although we say that we have to honour the triple bottom line. Yes, totally agree. But in the case of responsible management, in our template, the Bradford approach is the ethical side of things as well. So hence, whatever we do think about the people, planet, resources, profit and all of those, but we approach it ethically, which means that we respect all of those, we respect everything that's due to being in its own right, and then we approach it very carefully and respectfully, appreciating the diversity of the context as well. And it might be different from one context to another, but the key message here is responsible management, all of those plus the ethical side of things as well.
Brilliant. Thank you both. So we're here to talk about Local Access Bradford and District Programme. So who is it for? How does it work? Just tell us about the programme.
So working in the social enterprise sector, one of the things as an organisation and the legal structures that social enterprises are set up in, they also qualify for grants and support because some of them are not for private profit. They make profit, but they reinvest it back into the organisations. Now, over the past decade and a half, we've seen a lot of public services decimated for whatever reason. And what happened is because these organisations were dependent on grants, they were dependent on handouts, they were dependent on being funded by the public sector, the organisations collapsed because they couldn't sustain themselves, right? Now, what the social enterprise sector talks about is a sector that is sustainable. It may receive some grants, but it should also be looking at generating income for itself. Now, in order for us to generate income for ourselves as a sector, we have to be in a position that we have the assets and the ability to generate income, which makes the organization sustainable. And by being sustainable, they can deliver social impact without just being dependent on handouts and grants. Now, the social investment space has historically not been a space that has been accessed by many diverse communities or organizations that are less mature, typically don't access social investment. So the Local Access Bradford and District Programme, when 12 cities in the UK were invited to pitch for a share of £33 million five cities would be successful. Bradford was one of the five successful cities where it secured a £6.5 million social investment fund, which can then be used to invest into not-for-private-profit businesses and organizations to develop their income generation ability. And it's, you know, what we've done and pioneered in Bradford is something that's not been done anywhere else in the UK in the way that we've designed our products. And I can come on to that after, David. But if Dr. Amazon, if you want to add, because I know you and the team have been involved pretty much from the start of this program.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So I just want to add the bit that this kind of investment is meant to help the third sector to be more sustainable, but we can't escape the main or the ultimate objectives of this program. It's also partly to kind of produce a sustainable economic kind of environment in Bradford, and also to produce a social impact for all the local communities in Bradford and also beyond. So all those third sector organisations that are participating in this programme, they're meant to benefit the local communities, they're meant to benefit other stakeholders as well, but they also, in doing their operations or executing or implementing their programmes or activities, they're also been interacting with others who are beyond Bradford. So we wanted to kind of produce a kind of impact to Bradford District and also to those interacting with people from the Bradford District. So in a nutshell, it's going to be a huge societal impact and economic impact in Bradford and beyond.
Brilliant. So to who are the stakeholders in this? You've got the businesses, you've got the university, of course you've got the Impact Hub and yourself leading on this, Cameron. Who else is connected in and supporting?
So just to start, David, there's Impact Hub Bradford, and Impact Hub Bradford was founded and it's led by me, but we're part of a global network of 122 hubs across the world and with the largest network of social impact makers in the world, working with some big global corporates. So we're one of the partners. There's the University of Bradford, there's Bradford Council, there's Key Fund, and Key Fund are a very strategic partner for us. They're one of the largest social investment organizations in the north of England, based in Sheffield, but kind of operating from Sheffield all the way up to the Scottish borders pretty much. And we're very privileged to have them on board as a partner. We have four frontline organizations, and the four frontline organizations have been brought on to ensure that we reflect the views and input of the communities that we're trying to serve. So then we've got a partner that runs Tassif Khan Community Boxing Academy, and he works with young people. We've got Sophia Bunsey, who has a specialism of working with women. We have Homa Nizami from Race Equality Network, which reflects the voice and views of racially minoritized communities in the district. And we have Susan Morland from School More Beacon, who represents the views of working class communities across the district. We're also privileged to have who I call the godfather of social investment, Hugh Rollo. And he is kind of one of the founding fathers and one of the leading voices nationally of social investment. But we've been very fortunate that he's a Bradford born, and well, not born, but he's a Bradford raised guy. So he sits on our partnership board. We have Inspired Communities, which is an anchor, one of the largest anchor organizations in the district. And as an organization, they've taken on social investment in the past, so they're a great partner to have. And then we also have Steph Taylor and Shag Mulvey representing Leeds Community Foundation, but now it's Give Bradford, Bradford's Community Foundation, that gives out grants to make sure that they're supporting. And then we have Airedale Enterprise Services, led by Wendy Spencer. And they do the work, they do enterprise support. It's been their bread and butter for 20, 30 years. But they're also based in the Keighley part of the district. And one of the things we've made sure is called Local Access Bradford and District, LABD. Yeah. It's not Bradford City. And we understand that as a program, there's 40% of this district is rural and is outside of the core of Bradford City. And we want to make sure that the program serves the whole district, not just the city.
Brilliant. So,
Amazon, have I missed anyone?
Yeah, there? I think you missed us. You missed the university.
No, I think we got a name check. I think we did get a name check early on.
Right.
Yeah.
But it might be worth saying a bit about what the university's role is in the programme.
So among the five, those who succeeded, we are the only one to incorporate partners from university as an evaluation partner. So in a way that, yes, we want to run this programme, but on top of that, we also want to see how much this program has benefited the economics of Bradford and also giving the societal impact. So we need someone who has an expertise on that. That is where the universities comes in. So that is our role in this partnership. We're basically supporting the LabD to kind of evaluate the program and also the impact of that program.
Brilliant. Thank you both. So how does the program work? How do social enterprises, how do interested people get involved, access? What's the process?
So I think it's really what we've done and designed is very pioneering, David. But one of the things we have to recognize. So I think the university has a piece of work which I heard about called community readiness, which is about you can design these brilliant programs, you can design these brilliant offers. But if the community is not ready to engage and take it on, right, then programs are just redundant. And part of the program is to make sure that people understand, engage, and see the benefits of social investment, not just about taking the product on. And that's a mind shift change. And the way I describe it, David, is that sometimes when you do small programs, you know, if you're in a speedboat carries a couple of people, it changes direction very quick, and it can get from A to B very quick. But if you're on a steamliner takes a lot of time to change direction, but a steamliner carries a lot of goods and cargo and people. So for me, systems change, and this program is about systems change, is more like a steamliner. It takes time and takes investment. So what we're trying to ultimately do is get organizations to think about how they make themselves sustainable by being able to generate an income. And how we unlock that potential is by giving them social investment. Now, historically, this is a sector that's been very dependent on grants. It's been a grant-dependent sector that we take money, we use it, and when we finish, we're done, right? What we're trying to say is, actually, our offer is debt finance. And debt finance, I think, in our sector, has always been seen in the realm of the business space, right? Not in the social impact space. So we're running... I think part of the program is just to have a team that is able to have conversations, to highlight the opportunity and to share what social investment is and how social investment can benefit the sector. And I'll share one point with you, which is very relevant actually for this podcast. We were very fortunate that when we started out, when we reached out to the university, Shirley Congdon, your vice chancellor, had just recently started, and she actually sat on our partnership whilst we were developing our proposal and in the early stages. So we were very fortunate. Shirley also sits on the local enterprise partnership with me. And I remember being at a meeting here in Leeds, and in that meeting, they were talking about an investment fund that had been set up for Leeds City Region. And Shirley kind of contributed in that meeting and asked some very, very good questions. And Shirley pulled me aside after the meeting and says, Cameron, you do know the reason I could speak with authority on this investment program that they're launching is because of my experience in the social investment program that you've been leading, that I've been involved in. And for me, that is part of the impact, that if more people in our sector, more leadership within our district is understanding what social investment is, what the benefit is, and how it can change the landscape for the social impact space within the district, I think that's a great benefit. And that's just one example of how we've kind of changed people's mindset and how we've built the capacity and understanding of it. Without kind of taking too much more time, I think ultimately what's on offer is there's a number of individuals that are made up of the partnership. So I spoke to you about the four frontline organizations. There's people like myself, people like Wendy, Ashfaq. So if someone in the district is looking at growing their organization, number one, they have access to a network of individuals that can speak to them and share with them what social investment is and how it might benefit them. And now these conversations may take place over 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. And to build the trust and build the people's confidence in social investment is a long process. In addition to that, what we're doing is offering training. So we're just wrapping up one of our programs, which is a contract readiness program, which is about supporting organizations to understand how they can take on public sector contracts and what they need in order to achieve that. In addition to that, we offer what we call an investment readiness grant. So if an organization comes to us and says, so the products we have on offer is we can offer up to £250,000 for an asset-backed opportunity. So if someone wants to buy a building, renovate a building, we can lend them up to £250,000. And if it's working capital, it's up to £100,000. If they come to us and we see that there's a real potential opportunity, but there's a number of things like a business plan they need to develop, the program also offers up to £10,000 investment readiness grant. And that will help them pay for business planning, architect plans, surveyors, some very basic stuff in order for them to take on investment. And then, like I said, they can take on up to £250,000 asset-backed social investment or £100,000 working capital. I think that in a nutshell, David, is what we're offering. Yeah. But one of the products that we've designed is a pioneering product and is the first of a kind in the UK. I'll come on to that after, but I don't know if Dr. Amizan would like to add anything to that.
I just would like to recap what Kamran just said. So let's say you have an organization coming to you saying that you need help in these programs. So they want to do something, but they don't have an expertise. Either they're not really sure of what social investment entails or how to go about things, how to do the business plan and whatnot. So one of our partners is in charge of the triage of this organization. And from there, you will be channeled to whichever partners who can support you, for instance, if you need a training on what social investment is about. We probably channel them to Impact Hub and where they will go through a series of trainings. It depends also. There are other trainings in place as well. So, and after that, there's going to be different partners who will come onto that and offers other kind of supports. So for example, say, okay, let's say now I've understood what social investment is about and I just want to go a step forward in developing my business plan. Or they might just have come to you with business plan ready and say, can you have a look? I have this business idea. Can you please advise whether it's fit for purpose or is something that you think I can proceed? So our partners will also contribute in different expertise that they have. So kind of provide advice to these organizations. If that business plan needs further development, then our partner will handhold these applicants. So they will help these applicants to develop their business plans further before they're ready for the next step. So there's going to be a few phases. So it's not necessarily one organization come in a completely similar kind of situation. You might have different unique kind of situations. That's why we have partners from different expertise. This is basically to provide support to these applicants who get them into grant readiness stage and then go on to the next process of this aspect.
I'm just cutting into the podcast to tell you a little bit about the offer that we have for businesses locally as part of the business and community engagement support. We have our Knowledge Transfer Network, that's regular networking events where you can come on campus, meet like-minded people, hear from some of our and leading industry experts. We have our Bradford Business Challenge projects, where we have students coming out and working with you and supporting the work that you do. We have our consultancy clinic, where we have students delivering on short-term small projects for businesses as well. There's also lots of ways that you can engage with and interact with our students as guest lecturers, as mentors on some of our entrepreneurship programs and through involvement in the curriculum. And equally, from a research perspective, we can work with you on collaborative research. If you think there's something we can help with, please reach out to us at BACE, that's base BACE, at bradford.ac.uk. Thank you, and now back to the podcast. I originally thought, I wasn't even sure if this was the right question to ask. We've kind of answered it, which was about the business case for social investment and why we need to do this. Just to kind of extend that, does the current, I'm thinking about the current climate. So obviously economically challenging, interest rates are coming down, but not quickly. And well, as we sit, we're in the middle of the election period. This will come out once we've all been to the polls and we will know whoever is prime minister after that. We think it will probably be somebody different, don't we? On the kind of back of it. But I think about, I guess what I'm asking is, does the economic, the kind of the political environment influence the extent to which people are engaging, are interested, are looking at this kind of model?
I can try to answer that questions, but in my view, given the experience that we have with all different sorts of applicants, there are some true philanthropists out there who really want to make difference to the society, who really want to make difference to the local Bradford communities and whatnot. So all of what you say is in the beginning, yes, it might have influenced the decisions to come to us, but I think the patterns that we're seeing with all of these organizations who came forward, they are a true philanthropist who want to make a change, want to make difference to the communities and societies who, yes, this economic has impacted on what they're trying to do with the communities or with whatever business model that they're having, but it's the underlying reason. So that's why we believe that this program is very much aligned to the ethical, responsible management that we're already introducing at the university. But in, at the Bradford level, it comes into action where you can see all of these organizations coming, not just for the triple bottom line, but also to help out the community. So that's the driving factors, I mean, at least from what we've seen so far.
I guess probably unpick my own brain and asking the question, which might help. I've worked a bit with voluntary organisations. I've chaired a CIC in the past, nothing like your CIC, but very much kind of smaller. And one of the challenges is often getting people in those sectors to thinking in business-like ways. Yeah, so words like profit can be problematic for some people because they go, well, we're not in it to make a profit. And I'm going, no, but you need to run a surplus, which is a profit in my language, to be able to ensure that you can invest and develop and those sorts of things. Is that part of the educational bit about this? Is it about making social enterprise more business-like and therefore being aware of the environment and being responsive to that is key, I guess?
Absolutely. So I think social enterprise is business. It's not about making social enterprise more business-like. Yeah. Social enterprise is business-like. But if you're not... So you mentioned earlier on, it's a little bit dormant at the moment, but I used to run my own, the Socially Conscious Company, consultancy and training company, worked with over 13,500 young people. And I used to run a workshop, used to introduce social entrepreneurship to young people. When I say young people, like teenagers around the 18, 19-year-old mark. And I'd ask them the question, what is social enterprise? And you know, the response predominantly I used to get, is it a business that uses social media to make money, or is it a business that donates part of its profits for a good cause? And they were generally the two answers I got. So part of our challenge is to get people to understand what social enterprise is. And I think, David, you hit the nail on the head. I think people in the charity space or the social enterprise space think profit is a dirty word. And what we say is we call it not for private profit. We want to make profit. We encourage profit. But what we're saying is that profit allows you to deliver your social impact. And you also mentioned politics, David. So if I were just to quickly give an overview, right? So in politics, you have a spectrum, and on that spectrum, there's parties, right? Let's look at organizational and legal structures on a spectrum. On one side of the spectrum, you've got businesses, right? For-profit, company limited by shares, publicly listed companies. They have shareholders and a board of directors. At the end of the year, they measure success by what's known as profit. Have they made more money than it took to make that money? If we go on the direct opposite side of that spectrum, now imagine yourself on the opposite side, we've got organizations which I've got charities. And charities have trustees rather than directors. And charities, they measure success. If a business measures success by profit, a charity should measure success by social impact. A charity has been set up to deliver some social purpose. It's to alleviate poverty. It's to help animals, find a cure to cancer, whatever it is. It should, its trustees at the end of the year should measure its success based on how much of its social objectives has it achieved. However, charities have historically been dependent on grants. They raise money, they make money, they get donations, and that allows them to do it. The minute the donations, the handouts, the public sector funding and support finishes, the social impact stops, which in our opinion is problematic. Now, for us, social enterprise, David, is on the middle of that spectrum somewhere. So if you kind of come into the middle from the business side and the charity side, social enterprise sits there in the middle. And the way I describe it is social enterprise is first and foremost driven by social impact. It wants to make a difference to something similar to a charity. But the way it's different from a charity, that it uses a business model to generate an income, and the money that it generates through that income allows it to deliver its social impact. So if a business measures success by profit and a charity measures success by social impact, a social enterprise measures success by what we call the triple bottom line, is against people, planet, and profit. It's about getting people to understand that by having that income generation model, that's what allows you to continue to scale up and deliver your social impact. And I think there's a number of examples out there, and maybe this podcast isn't the right space to do it, but if I started mentioning them, you'd think, oh, that organization and that organization. We're agnostic about legal structures. But if you can first and foremost demonstrate that you're going to make a difference to people and planet, but you're going to make profit in order for you to keep that sustainable, that's where the social enterprise space sits. And that's part of our role, David, is to go out and speak to people in that.
Brilliant. I guess, Amazon, we'd recognise that, wouldn't we? It's, you're back to the responsible management ethos of the school, the genesis of this podcast. It's all businesses thinking in that way, regardless of structure. And it's about ensuring that Absolutely. The value is shared out in equitable and appropriate ways.
Spot on.
What's your kind of practical advice? You've talked very passionately about the importance of social investment and social kind of impact. If people want to get more involved, if they want to be doing more in this space, where can they start? What can they do?
Just before I answer that question, David, there's one, it's a bit of a shameless plug, just what I want to kind of share a little bit more.
We love a plug.
About, yeah, about the program and about the products. So this £6.6 million program has been funded by two organizations. One, which is, it was called Big Society Capital up until about 2 months ago, is now known as Better Society Capital. They're the biggest wholesaler of social investment in the UK. And it was a brainchild. It kind of came out of the kind of Big Society model that was proposed around the 2010, 2011 time period. So they're the ones who have given us the kind of repayable debt finance element of this program. The grant element of the program comes from Access Foundation. And Access Foundation, I think, have been very, very clever, because they understand for social investment to be lucrative, to be appealing, and to be accessible, it needs to be more, it needs to have a stronger and better offer than just going to your high street bank and getting, you know, a loan from a big high street bank, right? So what they did is they managed to secure money from the dormant assets money. And the dormant assets money is where the government went to all the banks and says, you've had money that's sat in accounts, people aren't claiming it, we want to pool it together. So the money came via that. And what we were really privileged to do that Access, when they led this program, they said to us, we want to give you an opportunity to innovate and pioneer something that's place-based. And part of that process, when we were going out and doing community consultations and co-creating the program when we first started, one of the early feedbacks we got is that, you know, if we think about Bradford is a diversity and it's synonymous with Muslim communities. You know, if you look at the landscape, it's made richer by the domes and the minarets of some of the mosques within the city. And there's no turning away from that. So some of the feedback we got is that it's all well doing a social investment program, but as a Muslim community, we can't pay or receive interest, which raised a problem. Now, without going into all the technical details, part of the process, what we were able to do is design the first interest-free social investment product in the UK based on the Qarz Hasan model, which is a godly loan or an interest-free loan almost. But language is important. Now, what I want to make sure that your listeners understand is that the way we've designed the program is, although it's Sharia compliant, it's not being sold as a Muslim-only product. Anyone can come to us and they will have a choice of whether to take on a typical social investment product, which in our case gives them a loan of 70% and a grant of 30% on a 6% fixed rate term over the life of the product, or they can take an interest-free loan with no grant, right? But it's up to the individual to decide that. So what we've done in this process, we've removed the barriers for every community to be able to access a product that works for them. And I think for us, we've pioneered, we've called it the Bradford Impact Fund now. I believe that this product has the potential to be rolled out nationally. And I'm really proud to say that that product was designed and led here in Bradford.
It's great to hear about that innovation. That's brilliant. Thank you.
So I guess that's very much aligned with our widening participation agenda as well. So it's not about why we involve or we're passionately involved in these programs. It's also partly because of our ethos of widening participations and quality, diversity, inclusion, and all of those.
So the question was about practical advice. I guess getting in touch is probably the first part of it, isn't it? If people want to do more or get more involved in this sector, what can they or should they be doing?
I think people can get in touch with Impact. What we've said is no wrong door policy. They can come to Airedale Enterprise Services. They can come via the university. They can come through the local authority, Bradford Council. They can come through Hidmet Centre, Tassif Khan Community Boxing Academy, Basic Quality Network, School More Beacon, Give Bradford, Leeds Community Foundation, Inspired Neighbourhoods, Impact of Bradford. Get in touch with any of them organisations and we will be more than happy to speak to you. At the moment, the programme is limited to the Bradford district. However, if someone lives outside the Bradford district, do not be reluctant to get in touch, because what we can do is put you in touch with one of our partners like Key Fund. Although they're a partner just on this programme in Bradford, they do social investment across the whole of the north of England. And then there's other organisations that may be able to help. What I'd like people to understand, though, is that social investment can help unlock opportunity and unlock potential for them. It's about creating organisations that are sustainable. So if you're an organisation that's been running and you feel like the next step for you is to take on an asset, is develop an asset, but one of the big things that are stopping you is the money or the investment to unlock that, this programme is about unlocking potential, unlocking opportunities. Get in touch. We can support you. We can offer a small grant, which will help you understand if social investment is viable for you. We're working with a number of organisations, and some of these organisations that we're supporting, very early stages. However, if they pull off what their vision is, they're going to be actually integral to Bradford's regeneration. If I think about Yorkshire Swimworks, which are looking at creating a visitor destination in the north of the city, which will be a outdoor Lido and tourist centre, it'll be exceptional. It's the economic impact in the wider community of something like that being set up is going to be exceptional. Mm-hmm. I think there's no wrong answer. There's no daft question. Get in touch with us, and we will be more than happy to speak to anyone that's got an interest who might just want to bounce an idea off. They might not be ready, but these things take time. I started the conversation off earlier on. This is not a quick turnaround thing. These things take time, and we're there in the long haul with people who are interested on joining us on that journey.
Brilliant. Thank you. My final question for both of you. We've asked this of all of our contributors. Bit of a change of pace. Who's your management hero? Amazon, do you want to go first?
It's a simple question, but it's a tough one for me to answer because there's so many individuals that kind of give the flavour into who I am in terms of embracing the responsible management and also the management side of things. So it comes from the both professional as well as the personal kind of experience. So I would say number one person is my dad. So he's a very successful businessman. We originally from Malaysia, but my dad's side of family come from different countries, so they migrated there. So looking at how he kind of been able to survive or sustain in his business and grow the business as well, that really gives me something. And also I remember in my earlier journey as a working professional, there is a mentor who keep on to give me good insights on practices and keeps on motivating me. So I would name that person again as a person who kind of give the flavour of how I perceive the management world.
Brilliant. Thank you. Cameron?
I'm going to be a little bit greedy and say three people. Anita Roddick's the first one, started the body shop off, I think, in the 70s, and was very much motivated by creating a brand and products that were not tested on animal, didn't use ingredients that had a negative impact on the environment, but the women she first employed were either domestic violence sufferers, suffered domestic violence, or had been refugees, etc. So she had real impact and became extremely successful. Others like Blake Mykowski, and Blake's not a household name, but Blake's created the product called Tom's Footwear that some people may be familiar with. And Tom's Footwear, for every pair of footwear you buy from Tom's, they donate a pair to someone who couldn't otherwise afford it. And they kind of pioneered the one-for-one model, buy a pair, we donate a pair. And the final one is Mohammed Yunus from Bangladesh, who's actually connected to the Impact Hub in Dhaka. And Mohammed Yunus is the founding father of microfinance and one of the kind of instigators of the social enterprise movements globally, an advisor to the United Nations. And Mohammed Yunus's model was, when he saw aid agencies going to Bangladesh giving handouts and giving like food parcels, he realized it wasn't sustainable. So what he did is went to these communities and says, what would you do if I lent you £100 or £200? And what they would do is buy a cow, the cow would give milk, they'd sell some of the milk, the money that they made in profit, they were able to then pay the mini loan bank, but they would also have a cow that was sustainable for them, that continued to give them milk. And I think in my space, they're individuals that have really, really kind of helped me understand why this space, why this kind of way of working is so important and how it can be so successful. No one's saying that you should be a poor person that makes social impact. You can earn a good living, you can deliver impact and be profitable at the same time.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, both. I've really enjoyed the conversation today. If people want to reach out to you, contact you after the podcast, what's the best way of doing that? Cameron?
For us, if you go on to, we're on all social media outlets, Impact Hub Bradford, and you can go onto our website, which is impacthubbradford.net. If you just Google it, you'll find us, and all our contact details are on there, and you can get in touch with myself or the team via that.
Great, thank you. Amizam?
Well, I think the easiest door to that, if you can approach the business and community engagement team in the School of Management, who will then channel it to me. Or you can come straight to our team, who's involved in this local access Bradford and district team, which is Kamran Maruf, myself, Amizan Omar, and also Sankar Sivaraja. But he'll soon leave the school. But yeah, so I would say the front door will be the base team.
Brilliant. So you stole my thunder, because I always say at the end, if you want to reach out to us generally, the Business and Community Engagement website gives links for all of our activities, obviously host the podcast as well. If you want to find us on social media, it's at Dave P. Spicer or at Brad Management for the platform formerly known as Twitter. In terms of email, it's BACE. BACE stands for Business and Community Engagement at bradford.ac.uk. But you'll find myself and any of the academic colleagues very easily on the university website as well. Thank you very much, both. Just to finish by saying, if you've liked what you've heard, as I have, please make sure you leave us a 5-star review and like and subscribe. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Pleasure.
If you've got a project that you'd love to get done, but you're struggling with the time and resources to do that, that's something that we can help you with. Bradford Business Challenge projects are where we get our students to do, as part of their dissertation, a piece of applied management work for a business like yourselves. Either one of our final year undergraduate or MSc students, with the support of an academic mentor, will be able to work on that project for you. There's no cost for you as a business. All we ask for you is to set up with us that project, give us a kind of outline brief that the student will go away and work into a full proposal for you, and then you'll be meeting and liaising with them and their academic advisor to get that project delivered. Because we have multiple students doing these over the course of the year, there's usually a group of students looking for any project at one time. So if that's something that you're interested in and you'd like to know more about, please reach out to us at BACE, base@bradford.ac.uk.